KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. 2 days after a thunderstorm sparked widespread flash flooding in central Texas, more rain is now in the forecast.
People around Texas know this scenic region as the Hill Country. Those who live here have another nickname for it, Flash Flood Alley. Governor Greg Abbott says rising water is a fact of life around here.
There's the potential for flash flooding, but there's no expectation of a water wall of almost 30 feet high.
And that's what communities like Kerrville, Comfort, and Center Point were faced with before dawn on Friday. The death count has surged past 70. Jim Ryan, ABC News, San Antonio.
And that death toll is expected to rise. On President Trump's agenda today is a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, their first since those U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. The two leaders are expected to discuss a ceasefire proposal for the war in Gaza. And in Philadelphia, day 7 of the municipal workers' strike, negotiations over wage increases continue. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says three contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season reaching viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field, where the Brewers open up a series against the LA Dodgers. Milwaukee with a 3-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. Brandon Woodruff held Miami to just 2 hits, 1 run, striking out 8 on 70 pitches in 6 innings. Jackson Churio at the plate, top of the third on FanDuel Wisconsin.
And a drive into left field. That'll get a run in. Plenty. It is up and it is going to be gone. Jackson Churio goes deep. His 15th slider that backed up over the inside part of the plate, and Churio crushed it.
Freddy Peralta gets the start tonight after finding out next week he'll be at the All-Star game.
All the work that we put every day, when you have the right people around, and everything can be great.
Rhys Hoskins headed to the IL with a sprained right thumb. Andrew Vaughn being called up from Nashville to play first base. NBA, the Bucks have re-signed guard Ryan Rollins to a 3-year deal worth $12 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Midwest Farm Report is brought to you by Brickstead Dairy Farms, a 5-generation family-owned and operated dairy in Greenleaf. Local, healthy, affordable beef raised with care and sustainability. Brickstead Dairy Farms. Smart dairy. Healthy planet. BricksteadDairy.com.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the upper 70s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 62. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Well, the hot, steamy 4th of July weekend is behind us. So is the discussion over the big, beautiful bill. It is a reality. Welcome to a Monday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Many folks may not realize how many agriculture elements are contained within that big, beautiful bill that was signed into effect over the weekend. We're going to break it down for you. That's what we do. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Weather-wise, that humidity and heat that we lived with over the weekend, dissipating a little bit this week. That's the good news. Today, we should still see sunny skies. Daytime highs today, right around 81 with winds out of the northeast, about 5 miles an hour. Tonight, cooling down to around 63. That's a big relief for all of our dairy operators out there. Those animals can finally get comfortable again. Tuesday, about a 50% chance of showers. Sunshine otherwise, 81. Wednesday, sunny skies and 82. The other good news for you this morning, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, is back from vacation. He'll give us all the weather details in about 15 minutes. On the way in just moments, our new Alice in Dairyland is officially on the job. Sarah Hagenow from Poinette. Our friend Jill Wilkie at the northern end of the world's longest barn caught up with her. That conversation next.
Food insecurity is a growing problem in America. Over 47 million people. More people face hunger today than during the COVID pandemic. One of every five children in America is food insecure. And hunger isn't just an urban issue. Almost 90% of the most food insecure counties are rural. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting invites you to lend a hand and help end hunger. Go to nafbhunger.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Changing of the guard each year when it comes to our Alice in Dairyland. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the barn in Eau Claire. And I'm just lucky enough to catch up with the 78th Alice in Dairyland, Sarah Hagenow. Let's do a little background on what Sarah is all about.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jill. I am so excited to be meeting with you today. It's still so surreal to me to be able to call myself the 78th Alice in Dairyland. This has really been a dream of mine since I've been a little girl. I can remember traveling to many fairs and shows and promotional events across the state and just seeing Alice in action promoting our amazingly abundant and diverse Wisconsin agricultural industry. I grew up in 4-H and FFA, which is where I had the opportunity to get involved in agriculture. I exhibited livestock, specifically dairy, at the local fair in Columbia County and actually shows throughout the state and nation, which really just gave me a burning passion for the dairy industry and agriculture in general. This passion led me to study at the University of Minnesota, where I graduated actually just a few weeks ago in May with degrees in agricultural business and international agriculture, which I'm so excited to use in this new role. I was just able to see so many different facets of agriculture, both in Minnesota while I was in the state and in Wisconsin from the external view, which I think made me really appreciate just how much we have here in Wisconsin, from corn to cranberries to ginseng to cattle to Christmas trees and literally everything in between. We just have so much here to appreciate in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, and I cannot wait to start promoting it on July 7th. Just to give a little background about myself, too, in the ALICE program, I've been connected to it for a very long time. I can remember my first personal interaction with the role with Rochelle Rip. I was probably about 10 years old, and Rochelle was serving at the time. We were at the Fond du Lac County Fair, and she was just my idol at this point in my life. So I marched right up. I was so excited to tell her my story, and I accidentally called her Alice in Wonderland. As you can imagine, I was just absolutely, I felt so terrible as this little girl who Alice was my absolute role model. But like any Alice, Rochelle just made me feel so special and just invited me into her story. And then a few weeks later, actually, she sent me a handwritten note just telling me to keep going in agriculture and that she said the future was bright. So that really kind of instilled just my passion for the program and really invited me to see myself as Alice in Dairyland and what could be possible. And then, of course, over the years, I've had many connection points from Abigail Martin to Crystal Seamers. And it's just been so fun to see how the program has developed and changed with the changing face of agriculture as well. And now I'm just so honored and humbled to be in this role.
And you don't even mention that connection that is a little bit blood relative of you too. Did she have any influence on you when you decided to step up and do this year of service?
Well, as some may not know, my sister, Ashley, served as the 76th Alice in Dairyland, and really watching her through the process gave me that behind-the-scenes look of really what Alice does, and I feel very fortunate to have that view. I think it just gave me a much different and unique perspective that some people may not get as they're running for the role, and it just helped me appreciate all that she does. I was able to see some of the late nights and early mornings, but I think it just helped me see myself even more in the role and gave me a little bit of those tools and skills and the information that I needed to really serve out this passion and this dream that I've always had. To me, it's so special to now kind of join another sisterhood with my sister, who herself is one of my biggest role models and who also served in this role that was another one of my big role models. So it's really a marrying of just so many different things in my life. But at the same time, I'm also really excited to see how I can bring my own kind of personal characteristic to this role and my own personal edge. I have a kind of a silly and authentic personality, and I'm so excited to just meet all of those people and engage with them and have empathy and just hear their stories throughout the year. I also have a very sincere business and policy and international interest in agriculture and seeing how it all connects. So I can't wait to bring in some of those perspectives and really highlight the different sectors of agriculture that make this wonderful industry so possible.
From that humble start in 4-H, FFA, showing those cattle and learning more about agriculture, what are some of those things that you are going to have to be coached a little bit and do a little bit more learning when it comes to sharing the agriculture story of Wisconsin?
Well, I will say I have not had much experience in front of large crowds, but that still doesn't make me shy away from it. I love public speaking, and I was able to do that through 4-H and FFA with dairy judging and many other things. But still, I think some of my engagement with larger crowds and being able to work a bit of an audience will come into play. So I'm ready to be coached a little bit more on that and gain more experience in that way. I also haven't had much experience with media. So doing radio interviews with people such as yourself and as well as TV interviews, I think are going to be an area where I'll see some room for growth with myself. But I'm so excited to gain that skill and then be able to use it both in the role of Alice and even beyond. I think it's so valuable to have those experiences and just see a different side of what makes the world happen and this different side of media. So I think that will be a gap that I'll definitely learn a lot about this next year, just administratively in the role. There's also so many different commodities that I just cannot wait to learn about. I don't know much about ginseng, and Wisconsin is the top producer of ginseng in our nation, as well as potatoes. I don't know much about potatoes, and let me tell you, I love potatoes. So I am so excited to really get down into the dirt with these and get the nitty-gritty details of everything. But again, from the commodities to we have cabbage and carrots and cucumbers, as well as honey and lavender and maple syrup. These are many things that I really don't know much about. So I just can't wait to feed my thirst for knowledge with these things and just feed my curiosity and help just display that to other people and help them get curious about the many things that make our state so special.
And one of those aspects of being Alice in Dairyland is getting into the classroom. You're looking forward to visiting with some of those fourth graders.
I am so excited to get in classrooms. I will say I don't have much experience with youth in classrooms and whatnot, but I can't wait to get in front of them and kind of really help inspire that passion for agriculture that was started for me at that age. I can remember, again, Rochelle Rip coming to our classroom and telling us all about Wisconsin agriculture, and it was so cool to have this figurehead of this industry come and talk to us as fourth graders and just give us the time to educate us and really spend time with us. Youth in agriculture are so important to making sure that we have a future generation, and building the leaders of tomorrow is crucial for ensuring that we have a sustainable and safe and secure food supply chain. So I think being able to get into those classrooms and helping children of that age see themselves in the agricultural industry is critical. Not everyone in the industry needs to come from an agricultural background, and being able to reach those audiences, whether it's in a rural community or an urban community, and allow them to experience and see the behind the scenes of agriculture is something that I am so looking forward to and will be really fulfilling this next year.
Any idea on what some of those things that you're going to be going out and doing when it comes to our, that favorite summertime food of ice cream?
I surely hope to get to lots of different ice cream parlors and ice cream shops throughout the state and showcase, you know, the powerhouse that is the Wisconsin dairy industry. I know a couple of my personal favorite flavors can be found around the state at many ice cream shops, and I encourage everyone this ice cream month to get out there and enjoy one of summer's most delicious treats to cool off for a bit. But I truly hope to meet many of the ice cream makers behind our favorite flavors and our favorite treats and give voice to what they're doing this ice cream month.
And what are those flavors? You led us right into the teaser, but what is that favorite flavor for the new Alice?
I am a lover of cheesecake, so anything ice cream with cheesecake in it, whether it's salted caramel, blueberry, blackberry, there's really endless possibilities with that. So I really like those refreshing flavors, but you can't go wrong with a mint chip or just a regular strawberry ice cream.
And now from ice cream month, you're going to head right down to the state fair. It's a little bit earlier this year than sometimes. Going to get real involved with what goes on down there as well.
Luckily, I was an exhibitor at the state fair back in the day for the Junior Dairy Show. So even though I'll be there the full 10 days, I'm thinking it's just an extension of that hard work that I used to do back in the day. I can tell you, I am so excited to get down there and just be able to see a new aspect of the fair that I maybe haven't seen before. I spent many of my days as a youth in the barns, getting up early, washing cattle, going to the show ring, and spending late nights in the bedding pack. But now it will be so fun to engage with many different consumers, whether it's in the cream puff pavilion, by the Ferris wheel, along the avenue that goes right by the grandstand. So I'm really excited to see a different part of the fair, but also connect with those people that formed the foundation for my journey in agriculture and go back to my roots of exhibiting at the state fair. It's such a great time, and it truly is the best 10 days of summer. So it's going to be a blast.
Well, from having a good time here in Wisconsin and having a bit of a plan as you start out your year of service as Alice in Dairyland, I'm just going to ask the question, why Minnesota instead of Wisconsin's university?
Hey, well, I always say at the end of the day, we're just Midwest rodents digging holes. Badgers and gophers can't go wrong. But, you know, each institution has its absolute strengths, and really each of them supports agriculture in such a great way as a land-grant university. The research being done at both Madison and Minneapolis is just cutting edge and is really helping us feed the future and support so many people on this planet. I think Minnesota had for me the international aspect that I really liked, but hey, that's not to say Madison might not have that soon. So either way, you can't go wrong with where you choose to do your education, and each one has its pros.
Sitting down with the 78th Alice in Dairyland, Sarah Hagenow, and I'm Joe Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally-minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Spent some of your week last week on vacation in the Northeast, huh? State of Maine only?
Portland, Maine. That's where we stayed. We did head north to Freeport to see the L.L. Bean headquarters, but that was about it.
How was the weather out there?
About the same as here, but it was really nice, and especially when you could get down near the bay where you got that breeze, and it just seemed oh so much nicer.
Yeah, yeah. So Stu sent me a picture of him and his wife and daughter out looking at lobster.
Yeah, we learned how to drag up the traps and empty them and bait them. And then the one that I pulled out of the trap went in my belly.
As we would expect, Well, like I said, your vacation and hopefully that hot, humid weather in the rearview mirror. But we did get rain. Green Bay, probably the winner. I was up there for my 4th of July. Stan says 2.5 inches up by Green Bay over the weekend. Not much more than a half an inch from the rest of my rainfall reporters.
Yeah, and I've got amounts that are all over the place. I mean, just in my neighborhood, I've got a digital wet rain gauge out there, you know, tallied up the week, an inch and 3,400ths. My friend John, just about 7 miles east of here, over the weekend, 3.5 inches.
Oh, wow.
So he caught on with that line that went up toward Green Bay. There was some heavier rain in there, nothing like that reported in many other areas, but a lot of rain in some and not much in others. We are a little more quiet here in a Monday morning, and I guess that's great news, but there's a front just off to our south. We're going to watch a small low slip east on that front. Could mean a little rain tomorrow or into tomorrow night, and then there'll be a little more later in the week as the temps start to turn up, too. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit WISoybean.org.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin.
All righty, Stu, let's have some more detail on what we can expect this week.
All right. Well, how about some sun today? Could be a little fog in the northwest, but otherwise more sunny day in store. Temps in far northwest Wisconsin just into the 70s in the south, back into the low 80s in the far east part of the state, back in the 70s. Cooler by Lake Michigan. Northeast and east winds today. That's the reason about 5. Overnight, we'll see some clouds roll in. A small chance of a shower or a storm earlier in the nighttime in the far west, quite late tonight further east. And temps overnight still holding in the low 60s, maybe an upper 50 in the north. Tuesday is the day, partly sunny, maybe a morning shower, more likely some showers in the midday and afternoon. I'd expect western and central Wisconsin may push to near a quarter or a half inch of rain total. The rest of us will be on the lighter side. Temps in the upper 70s and low 80s tomorrow. We dry it out by Wednesday. Pam, guess what? The temperatures climb a bit. Heading into the lower 80s on Wednesday, mid-80s Thursday, maybe some rain Friday, but I'd say those 80s will be around for the weekend.
All righty. Thank you, Stu. Appreciate that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a conversation from a recent episode of the Busted Pencils podcast, talking about how AI or artificial intelligence is being utilized in rural classrooms.
I mean, really, I think it was reading so many of these books, like educational, like more theory-based books. It's like we kind of put theory into action. So it was kind of like a happen chance where we stumbled across, you know, Khan Academy with their Khanmigo, like their AI tutor bot. There's a lot more like technology sources like embedding AI into them. So we started to look at what would be the capabilities of a classroom if we let some of the tier one instruction be turned over to AI. So where students are actually receiving learning. I mean, as adults, if I want to learn how to change a faucet, I go and watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Kids, this generation of kids, they want to learn via technology. They want to learn via videos. And so I think it was just like this perfect storm of like students being disengaged. You know, I was an instructional coach and associate principal. I've sat through my fair share of lessons that I, as the adult, was bored. So it's like all these problems of practice that we were trying to like find a way to solve. And it's like, well, we have something right in our hands. And so what would it look like if we could turn over some of that tier one instruction to a tutor bot or to personalized learning via an online platform and let the teachers do the depth of knowledge and challenge-based learning and really bringing in those real-world connections.
Tell us, rural Wisconsin. So this is happening then in rural Wisconsin.
It's happening. I mean, we have schools that are, I mean, we started off as like a little pilot and now it's like, I feel like every day it's like, what's going on? Like, what is going on? And in this idea of rethinking or rebuilding like public education, I think each district that we work with kind of faces their own problem of practice. We have a district that couldn't really hire a physics teacher. So how can they take a teacher that has no physics background and use AI to truly help teach the kids? We have districts who are like, you know what? No, we're going to teach math, science, ELA, all the content. We're going to teach that and we're going to reduce that time down so the kids get it all.
You've been listening to a portion of the Busted Pencils podcast. To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to our website, civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. 2 days after a thunderstorm sparked widespread flash flooding in central Texas, more rain is now in the forecast.
People around Texas know this scenic region as the Hill Country. Those who live here have another nickname for it, Flash Flood Alley. Governor Greg Abbott says rising water is a fact of life around here.
There's the potential for flash flooding, but there's no expectation of a water wall of almost 30 feet high.
And that's what communities like Kerrville, Comfort, and Center Point were faced with before dawn on Friday. The death count has surged past 70.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, San Antonio.
And that death toll is expected to rise. On President Trump's agenda today is a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, their first since those U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. The two leaders are expected to discuss a ceasefire proposal for the war in Gaza. And in Philadelphia, day 7 of the municipal workers' strike, negotiations over wage increases continue. This is ABC News.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field, where the Brewers open up a series against the LA Dodgers. Milwaukee with a 3-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. Brandon Woodruff held Miami to just 2 hits, 1 run, striking out 8 on 70 pitches in 6 innings. Jackson Churio at the plate, top of the 3rd on FanDuel Wisconsin.
And a drive into left field, that'll get a run in plenty. It is up and it is going to be gone. Jackson Churio goes deep. His 15th slider that backed up over the inside part of the plate, and Churio crushed it.
Freddy Peralta gets the start tonight after finding out next week he'll be at the All-Star game.
All the work that we put every day, when you have the right people around, and everything can be great.
Reese Hoskins headed to the IL with a sprained right thumb. Andrew Vaughn being called up from Nashville to play first base. NBA, the Bucks have re-signed guard Ryan Rollins to a 3-year deal worth $12 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the upper 70s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 62. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Are you a puzzle lover who's ready for some friendly competition? It's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And on Sunday, July 13th, at the Barrow House at Badger State Brewing, from 1 till 8 p.m., you can join the fun that is Puzzles or Paws. It's a cat-tastic challenge that raises funds for Brewster's Place, a nonprofit no-kill cat rescue. So spend your afternoon puzzling or checking out the silent auction. Head to wgbw.fm, click events, and see where to get your tickets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matt and Air on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right-wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy?
And one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers, and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles. You know, that takes a lot of that, those dollars away directly away from the farmers, because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmer.
Catch Matt and Air on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Yeah.
The big, beautiful bill is in place, and I'll tell you what, there's more contained in that bill for production agriculture than you might first recognize. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. We're going to break it down for you a little bit. This big, beautiful bill could actually change the direction of how we put together a farm bill. Will we ever see a true farm bill come out of Washington, D.C. again? Stephanie Hoff's got an update on that and tries to answer that question as we roll our way forward. So glad you're along with us on this, the 7th day of July. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1947, Roswell really came on the map. There was a UFO sighting. Supposedly an object crashed into a ranch near Roswell, New Mexico. Speculation was the object was an extraterrestrial spacecraft. And it had alien life forms. Now, if you've ever been to Roswell, you know they try to capitalize on that just as much as they can. Happened on this day back in 1947. On this day, 1958, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signs the Alaska Statehood Act into law. That meant Alaska became the 49th state of the United States of America. Now, it was on this day, it started on this day back in 1958. On this day, 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, the first woman to be appointed to the highest court. On this day in 1985, Boris Becker becomes the youngest person to win Wimbledon. He was just 17. That was on this day, 1985. Speaking of birthdays, happy birthday to Beatle Ringo Starr. Their drummer turns 85 years young today. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that big, beautiful bill contains an awful lot of influence on agriculture and ag policy going forward. In fact, so much so, it may change the way we put farm bills together. Will it derail the one we're working on now? Let's find out. Stephanie Hoff visited with Tyler Wensloff, National Affairs Director with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, on the big, beautiful bill and what it's got.
This is, in effect, the 2025 Farm Bill. And to be clear, it's not just a scaled version, back version. This is 90% of what a traditional farm bill would include. First thing that we looked at was reference prices are going to be covered in this, especially the bump to $10 for soybeans, $4 for corn. So this is a huge win for crop producers. In addition, the bill increases dairy margin coverage limits to cover 6 million pounds, which we have been advocating for through Representative Van Orden, and offers a 25% premium discount for long-term participation. So this gives dairy farmers more stability and flexibility. Wisconsin has one of the highest participation rates when it comes to dairy margin coverage. We're at over 80% when it comes to dairy farmers participating. This allows producers to use their highest production history from 2021 to 2023, and it gives farmers a better baseline and offers premium discounts for multi-year commitments that also make the program more accessible and affordable. There's also stuff here for livestock producers who gain expanded disaster assistance programs that compensate for predation, weather, and disease-related losses, conservation funding through programs like EQIP, CSP, and ASIP. There's strong investments in market access and foreign trade development, which are essential to expanding export opportunities. So these provisions provide certainty, stability, and growth opportunities for Wisconsin farmers and beyond. So there's a lot here to digest, you know, a lot for Wisconsin farmers.
What kind of tax benefits come in with this big, beautiful bill for farmers?
Yeah, there are definitely tax implications for farmers as well, and things that we should be excited about. There's programs that help address some of the Schedule F things that farmers do. And so these are things that small businesses have been looking forward to, and extending Trump's tax cuts from 2017. If these weren't put in place, they would have seen a tremendous increase in their taxes. And so these are, again, part of the wins that go with doing the farm bill, but combining that with tax policy as well.
But as you said, it's 90% of what a farm bill typically would be. So if we look at that 10%, what's missed?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that we really hoped would get into the new program or into the farm bill, but unfortunately just didn't make it because of the vehicle that is used to pass it. So we would have liked to see an answer to California's Prop 12. As you guys probably know, Prop 12 addresses maternity pen sizes for hogs and disproportionately affects small farmers. We would have loved to also see an indefinite extension for year-round E15. Currently, Wisconsin and other Midwestern states rely on yearly extensions by EPA. Having that extension would have created additional stability for the biofuels market. But these are policy items that are left on the cutting room floor, because when you go through the reconciliation process like the Congress did, because they don't have budget implications, they can't be put into this kind of bill. So these are things that we would have liked to see. There's also some orphan programs that were not extended yet that will need a more what we consider a traditional farm bill, like ethanol funding and programs when it comes to organics.
You also mentioned conservation money was included, but did it get scaled back?
When I talked about some of the orphan programs, grazing was part of that program. And so we're going to make sure that we continue to push to get more of what, you know, we've talked about as a traditional farm bill, to get some of those programs that were left on the sidelines, getting those part of a next bill that we're working on.
The farm bill portions that did get done through budget reconciliation, that was the vehicle, as you said, that these things were able to get passed through. I don't think this has happened before. So is this now how farm bills are going to get done? Are we going to go back to that traditional every five year package that we've known and loved in the past?
Well, that's one of the problems that we had identified when we were going through and met with congressional representatives a couple of weeks ago, that going through this reconciliation process makes it very difficult for another farm bill to get done the way that we've traditionally seen. So normally a farm bill moves through regularly requiring, you know, a simple majority in the House and 60 votes in the Senate, a threshold that this kind of demands bipartisan support. So urban Democrats have historically backed the farm bill for its nutrition provisions like SNAP, while rural Republicans have championed its support for agriculture. That coalition has kept the farm bill stable and balanced and worked for the lifetime of what we've seen. This time, however, Republicans are using the reconciliation process to advance significant changes to the SNAP program. These changes only require a simple majority in both chambers. While the reconciliation process isn't new, Democrats have used it to pass major, you know, climate investments. It's never been used to reshape core farm bill programs before. So this is a notable shift and could have lasting implications of how farm bill policy is crafted in the future. So we may not see what we've considered traditional farm bills, where, you know, you have the SNAP program, you have the agriculture programs combined into one bill. We may not see that in the future because of the process that's been used this time.
Tyler Wensloff, along with us, National Affairs Coordinator for Wisconsin Farm Bureau. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All righty, markets and overnight electronic trade this morning are trying to get back in the groove after a three-day weekend. Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently up more than 140 points, but our commodities are languishing right now in overnight electronic trade. September corn is down 13 cents at 407. December new crop down 14 cents, 423. August soybeans down 21 right now, 1034. November new crop down 22 at 1027. The wheat for September down 13 cents right now at 543, with the December wheat crop down 13 cents at 565 a bushel. On Friday in Chicago, make that Thursday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 168.5. Double A butter, 2.5 cents higher at 260.5 per pound. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning is up 4 at 1844 a hundredweight. September, down a penny at $19 even. We just discussed the impact of the big, beautiful bill on agriculture and ag policy. Some of the funding that's been clawed back out in Washington, D.C. has not been replaced here in the state for things like conservation. And up next, we're finding out how one group is trying to keep staff, keep programming moving forward while still looking for the money. Our new voice, Kylie Allen's got the story next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, eight colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
WGBW and WGBW.FM.
The big, beautiful bill. Now, you heard some of the comments from Tyler Wensloff earlier this hour. What is not included in the big, beautiful bill any measurable conservation funding. Now, we were hearing about this earlier in the Trump administration, that they were clawing back on some of those soft funds. Well, those monies are still not reaching some of the conservation groups that work hand in hand with Wisconsin farmers on conservation practices. Our brand new voice, Kylie Allen, joins us this morning with an update on how one's trying to deal with the lack of federal funding they had counted on.
A dollar here and a dollar there. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and along with me today is Kelsey Wallish. She's the regenerative agriculture specialist at Glacier Land. She's explaining the impact budget cuts and funding have had to their grazing programs.
Glacier Land is a nonprofit that has several branches, some of which do some forestry and some aquatic invasive species programming. But the bulk of what we do is grazing work, as far as either writing grazing plans in conjunction with the NRCS and EQIP cost sharing, as well as technical assistance. And then we also do a lot of outreach and education events as far as organization and hosting for farmer to farmer and peer to peer networking.
One of the big things that we're hearing about is all of the stuff we have going on in Washington right now. Is that affecting you at all? Are you seeing anything there?
Absolutely. So as I said, we're a nonprofit. So a lot of our funding has traditionally been federal funding. So a lot of our grants were put on hold. We ended up losing two of our, within our grazing branch, there's really only four of us, and we lost two of the four of us with the budget cuts that resulted in losing or pausing some of our grants, and we weren't sure if they were going to be back online. It did, our big one, our big GLCI grant came back, which is great. We had an RCPP grant in the works through MMSD, which is the Milwaukee Metro Sewage District. That was going to be my job for the next 5 years, and that got put on pause, and that was supposed to start this fall. So it was a little nerve-wracking. The current grant that I'm working under was ready to be up in August. So most of the year so far, I thought I wasn't going to have a job after August. But thankfully, the GLCI grant and the MMSD grant sounds like they're coming back online, which is a huge relief. We also have a partnership with the NRCS, where we have affiliate staff that sort of work in between both us and the NRCS. And that's under a grant that got put on pause and was due to be up in December. But it sounds like that's coming back, which is a huge relief. That was a lot of freshly graduated students that are looking to, or young adults that are looking to work either with us in the future or in the NRCS. Another big way that it affected us was a lot of younger staff, and we've been working really hard, especially in the grazing world. We've been working really hard training a lot of new staff in what grazing looks like and how to be processing those contracts and working with grazers, how to work with someone that's on a farm. And then when those big budget cuts came out and everybody got offered that buyout, well, we lost a lot of staff. And so now the offices are short-staffed, which puts some extra work on our shoulders. And then also once and if they're able to start hiring more staff again, well, now we spend more time training new people again. So just seems like this sort of a vicious cycle at times. But it's a huge relief that our funding with our organization is coming back. It's been very helpful. We were able to bring back one of those employees that we lost. We're working really hard to keep pushing forward. I'm glad we were able to hang in there at least and get through the slump.
Sounds like it hasn't been easy. Why was it important to you to keep pushing ahead?
I have tons of reasons. Like I said, I absolutely cherish working with all of my producers. This is what I went to school for, and I feel really fortunate that I get to use my degree with this amazing job. I love working with producers that care about conservation and care about their land. They care about the welfare of their animals. And they're willing to make a huge change to improve not just their career, but generations to come. Like I said, it's a more sustainable, long-term, successional system. I think that's the most important part why we do what we do, keeping these farmers going for the next generation. I would hope that we can keep Wisconsin's culture in agriculture thriving and successional. And like I said before, too, keeping those, it's not just the boots on the ground, but keeping those networks together, keeping those farmers in touch is so valuable. I love what I do.
Is there anything else that you want to hit on that you think is important for our audience to know?
I think us, you mentioned that we sound like a resilient group, and I know we had a couple of times where we thought, are we just throwing in the towel? And I'm so glad that we hung in there and I think we can all be resilient, especially in the grazing world. That's what grazing is. So I think if we all stick together and we all hang in there and keep chugging forward, as tough as it might be at times, we can get through it'll ebb and flow and we'll get through it.
Resilience and passion, keeping those at Glacierland going. Kelsey Walsh along with us. She's the regenerative agriculture specialist. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW, Matt and Air on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
U.S. and Canada resume trade negotiations and ag is on the table. That's next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Now that Canada's dropped its plan to tax U.S. tech companies, trade negotiations are resuming. Ag trade will be a part of that. U.S. Meat Export Federation economic analyst Aaron Borer.
In Canada, there has been movement underway for some time to try to safeguard, in a way, their supply management programs for dairy and poultry in particular. And they have essentially tried to put guardrails around this program so that the supply management system could not be, in their minds, traded away or negotiated through these trade agreement updates. Problematic areas for the U.S. are being redlined by legislation in Canada and unable to be negotiated. Even some in the domestic ag industry in Canada have raised concerns about the signal this sends.
A big sticking point, says Borer, sausage.
This retaliation goes all the way back to February through the fentanyl and immigration tariffs that the U.S. imposed on Canada, and then Canada had retaliated. And included on that list is U.S. sausages, and at 25% retaliatory duty, that trade for last year was a total of $275 million. So it is a huge line item.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
I'm bored.
Is this your child's complaint? Then register for tickets to Sunset on the Farm. This free event includes a light dinner, wagon tours of the field, and a lot more fun for the family. There's even Culver's custard available for a donation of $1. Bring canned good to help them support the food pantry or a monetary donation to Hands Across De Pere. Put boredom behind on Thursday, July 24th from 3 to 8 p.m. at Brickstead Dairy, 1734 Wayside Road in Greenleaf, Wisconsin.
Mom, let's go Sunset on the Farm.
Okay, let's go.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Texas officials now say at least 80 people have died from flooding in the central part of that state. That includes children attending a summer camp in the area.
With more rain on the way, a desperate search for the girls swept away from a Texas summer camp. 28 children are among the more than 80 dead as storm-swollen rivers once again threaten hard-hit areas. In Kerr County, crews working around the clock to find the missing, including campers and a counselor from Camp Mystic, last seen near the Guadalupe River.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert, dozens remain missing across central Texas. This evening at the White House, President Trump will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for the first time since the U.S., in coordination with Israel, struck three of Iran's nuclear sites. The two are expected to discuss a ceasefire deal for Israel's war in Gaza. Indirect talks between the Israelis and Hamas have been ongoing in Doha, Qatar, over the last few days. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage,